Welcome to The Scene. I'm your host, Andrea Kruska, and today I am joined by Louis Matheny, children's book writer and illustrator. Louis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I've been waiting to come here and talk with you. I love talking to artists or being interviewed by an artist, I guess I should say.
And I always love talking to you because, I mean, the two of us can go on forever. So
yeah.
We can't do that today. So
right.
I'll try to keep you in line.
Good luck.
So biggest question is, how did you get started with illustration and writing children's books? Because it's such a kind of a niche thing.
It is. You know, it starts really with the fact that I could read at an early age, and many people have heard this story again and again, that I could read by age three. And in Cookeville, Tennessee in the 60s, a lot of people kind of didn't know what to do with that kid. So teachers would give me extra projects. And along the way, when I would start to write little stories, I would just start drawing cartoons to go with them. Also, at an early age, I was very precocious, and a little-known fact by a large number of people is my phone call to Charles Schulz when I was 7 years old declaring I wanted to be a cartoonist when I grew up.
So
the imprint was there. I don't remember exactly how I got his number. I've read articles later that indicated that the guy that did the animation, Lee Mendelson, Schulz, as a prank on him, put his phone number in a cartoon. Now, you're talking in the 1960s, way before an invasion of privacy was a thing. A lot of people wouldn't have dared call the number. It would have just been considered rude. But several thousand people, I think, myself included, called, and I got put through to Charles Schulz, and he was very pleasant, and I declared I wanted to be a cartoonist, and I have a signed Snoopy from him and a letter, and I just kept drawing. As a teen, I was in a lot of art classes in which teachers would try to emphasize that I should learn to draw real, but I loved making people laugh. I was a bit of a class clown.
Some
things haven't changed. But I love making people laugh and making people happy. And I could do that through my drawing. So I was emulating a lot of cartoonists, mostly from Mad Magazine, which was a favorite of mine in my early teens. And my teachers would emphasize, oh, that's very nice and cute, but you got to learn to draw real. And it was then that I discovered James Thurber. James Thurber was a cartoonist and writer and humorist for New Yorker magazine. And James Thurber actually was blind in one eye since childhood. And as he got older and took up a career as a cartoonist, he wore a retrofitted welding mask in which the welding shield was replaced by a magnifying piece, very large magnifying piece. And he would draw with thick black chalk on large pieces of paper because he couldn't see what he was drawing. So he had all these loose, disconnected lines and very squiggly, and very often his wife would walk in and notice that he forgot to put an ear or an eye on something. So at, you know, 13 or 14 years old, I looked at Thurber and said, if this guy can make a living at it, why wouldn't I just... And I really did draw like Thurber consciously starting at 13. So, yeah, that was the beginning.
All right. That is... I haven't heard that part of the story before. I've heard a lot of it. So from there, you just decided to go on and make a book.
Eventually, yeah. Eventually. I mean, from there, actually, I'm talking 14. So in between then and making a book, gosh, I ran away from home in Cookeville at 15, off to several places, off to college for 1 year, at which point, as I still say to this day, I loved everything about college except for studying and going to classes. I just like throwing parties. But eventually, I would be led to New York City at age 23. And in gradual steps, I saw myself going in that direction. But I was mostly interested when I got into New York and pursuing my love of acting. I've been very fortunate to work as a professional actor here in Cookeville at a young age, not just high school theater, but theater that led me around parts of Tennessee touring with the play. So theater, and then I fell into the fitness industry for 15 years, had an amazing career. And at about age 30, I said to myself what a lot of artists say. Well, if I didn't do it by 30, I'm probably not going to ever write and illustrate kids' books. And I wasn't even all that despondent. I was having a great time in this career. And 10 more years roll by, and as I'm pushing 40, I just stop and go, Louis Scott Matheny, you called Charles Schulz on the phone when you were 7. And by then, Schulz had died. But I made a promise to myself that I would, because he sent me this letter encouraging me to be a cartoonist, I would do it in gradual steps. That's how I got there.
I like that because it kind of shows, like, your path can change as you go, and I know mine has certainly done that. So we'll hear a little bit more about that in just a minute. We'll be right back on The Scene.
That rare 45 from the 1960s?
The one you wore out on your record player.
Search for the rare at Harper's.
That classic story of intrigue and mystery.
The book you can't put down.
Get a scare.
Or romance in the air.
At Harper's.
The hub for anything and everything creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
If it's rare.
If it's groovy.
If it's one of a kind.
You just might find it at Harper's.
Just down from the depot in Cookeville's historic West Side.
The kind of place that's much less store and much more about the search.
Stroll, look, sit a spell.
Hang out, soak in the unique and the rare.
But be warned.
You just may be late getting back to work.
It's new every time you walk through the doors.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles. 41 West Broad Street, Cookeville.
A one-of-a-kind book, collectible records, and unique treasures.
The community's hub for all things creative.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles.
Cookeville's historic West Side.
Welcome back to The Scene. I'm here today talking to Louis Matheny, who is a children's book writer and illustrator and so much more. But for now, we're going to focus on the children's books. So we got to about age 40. What came next?
What came next was the desire to make a choice to either leave the fitness industry or accelerate what I was doing to a much broader level. And I had several opportunities, actually, that came my way by investors, actually, who wanted to open a gym with me in New York City. And I thought, okay, I could be that trainer, that super trainer at age 70 or 80, which I knew I could do, or I could answer that sort of longing in my heart that was still there, I discovered at 40. You know, I wasn't sad or melancholy just when pinned with the question, what do you want to do next? It was, well, I'd really like to do that kid's book. So I had already been shopping my books around to publishers, editors, art directors, and publishing companies around New York. And the rejection process is grueling, but it's part of it. And all the greats have had more rejection than most people could imagine. Seuss, for example, 27 publishers said to Dr. Seuss, you will never make it in children's book writing. He was a controversial cartoonist, actually political cartoonist, and he had some very risque cartoons, you know. And what that led to actually was my decision to host this amazing exhibit in New York City called Cartoon Limbo, in which I featured the rejected work of cartoonists, illustrators, comic artist, including Stan Goldberg, who I became great friends with, who did the Archies from the beginning. And all of them had piles and piles of rejected work compared to their published work. So then it came to me very soon that I would either have to keep at this for years to come or think about starting a publishing company. And I had created enough of a financial foundation for myself to invest in something. And the answer was simple, you know. So along with my then partner, now husband, Gary Lee, we started a publishing company using letters of our name, G for Gary, L for Lee, and Lewis, and M for Matheny. And we had two books out within 2 years. And in New York City, certainly, they were a huge hit and have done pretty well around the country as well. And we're looking to do anniversary editions coming up pretty soon of those.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. It'll make it easier to buy them. I don't know if you know this about my kids' books, but somewhere along the way, they went out of print by 2007 or 8 at the latest, and they took on this kind of life of their own. Used copies on Amazon started going for 50, 100, 300, 500, you know, and I didn't have a fan base to go with it. They just had their own cult following, you know, and here and there, I would just have to plod along and wait. Like, people were always asking for copies for nonprofit stuff, and I'd have to wait till a book got down to about $100 on Amazon to snatch up a copy of my own book. So all the more reason to go back into publication with these, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So beyond what you've done with that, I know I always see just like little illustrations you're drawing here and there. You've got some work up in the downstairs gallery at Harper's.
Yes.
Is that what your focus is now? Do you want to do more of the kids' books? What's your plan?
My next plan for a book, I'm going to use my cartooning and some writing to do a book on how we view ourselves. It has to do with self-esteem issues and primarily addiction. I've been through several personal experiences with people I love a great deal. In fact, I lost my sister, unfortunately, some years ago to addiction. My sister literally drank herself to death. And one of the things I have noticed along the way with addiction issues is it's the silence and the shame that is often more powerful than the substance itself. You know, people live in shame and silence and don't want to say anything about it. So I want to give a voice to this, and I'm doing a book actually called Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, and it's filled with cartoon images of people looking in the mirror, and there's a little something to go with one. For example, I have one in which a man is staring into the mirror, looking sort of agitated or confused, and the quote to go with it is, "The greatest gift I gave myself was the ability to laugh at myself." So his reflection in the mirror of himself is pointing at him laughing and reaching a gift out from the mirror.
How interesting.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I've had four kids' books out so far, and I could reprint any one of those or go on and do another kids' book. But I want to do something specifically, and this will be the first book in my sister's memory and honor. So there's something more I feel I can do to make the world a better place and help. It'll be by way of that, you know. So, yeah.
I love that. And I think that's such an important thing. And I think it's something most people try to do that at some point. It's leave the world better than you found it. And that's such a great way of doing it.
Thank you. Yeah.
We'll be right back on the scene with more with Lewis Matheny. You're back on the scene, and I'm here today talking to Lewis Matheny, who, among all his art and fitness and everything else he's done, is currently co-owner of Harper's Bookstore, Upstairs Gallery, Downstairs Gallery, and The Soundstage. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, or as we say, all things Harper's. But yes, Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles is born out of my love of books. I did buy out a rare bookstore many years ago in the Northeast and was waiting for the right time and the right place. You know, and I never expected to be living in Cookeville again at any point. I had come here originally to open a museum based on the fact that my dad ran a drive-in movie theater, but that was just when COVID hit and a small nonprofit like mine was doomed to fail. So I just pivoted and stayed fluid. And those are the two words I've used the most. And and so the bookstore was born out of that. And then I love the idea of artists supporting artists. In the 90s in New York City, I started a support group called ASAP. ASAP stood for Artists Supporting Artist Priorities. So the gallery I literally give to local artists. I love to feature artists, seek out and find them. You came to me with this amazing exhibit. And what was great for me is I didn't have to do a thing. You put this beautiful exhibit together on your own. So the gallery is there, and we like
artists. That's because I am stubbornly independent.
Yeah. So we do want artists to know that the gallery is there, free to use. And we also like to feature artifacts of importance to local history at the gallery as well. And then we've been in the process of trying to get a recording studio open, and we've had several road bumps and delays with that, but we're still on our way. We've had some live music at what is called Harper's soundstage portion of the soundstage and recording studio. But we're also moving to another location with that. So for now, Harper's Rare Books and Collectibles and the gallery will stay there. We may expand the gallery into what is now known as the soundstage, a huge space for gallery art as well. So lots more art coming to Cookeville if I have my way, or lots more art coming to Harper's if I have my way. Yes.
I will say one of the great things about this community is it is so welcoming and accepting for artists, and there's so many of us here, and it's such a collaborative environment. But I love what you and Gary are doing by giving this space, which is a beautiful space. I love being up there.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's it like being back in Cookeville?
I love it. I mean, a lot of people think I came here to retire, and I did not. I still live in New York City, though. I you know, the thing I get asked so often, because people, I mean, for whatever reason, I'm one of those people that people try to figure out, and that's fine. But, you know, often, are you a city boy or a country boy? And my answer is yes. I'm a city boy or a country boy. I love both equally. I also love the town that in many ways, I was an early version of It Takes a Village to Raise a Child. My sister and I had been abandoned at birth by our biological mother. And through the diligence of a lot of people in this town, we were not thrown into an orphanage, which is what they did with kids. So I owe this town a lot still. I would not be where I have been and I'm still going in life if it weren't for Cookeville. So, and you're right, there are a lot of artists here that are coming together. There's this great convergence, I keep saying, happening. And every once in a while, somebody will say to me, "Oh, you're the guy leading the convergence in the art and music scene." I said, "No, I'm not at all. I'm just in there stirring the pot with everybody else. I may be one of the more vocal, active people with a higher profile, but it takes all of us coming together." I mean, you having your exhibit there, you know, it took that to make that a great exhibit. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's just four walls that I happen to have, you know. So yeah. So yeah. Thank you for being a leader in the convergence that's going on here as well.
So happy to. And we've got so many other great organizations and people and shops doing all of that. Like, this community here is amazing.
It is.
And yeah. I think we're all really lucky to be a part of it.
We most certainly are, yes.
What is up next for you? What's in store and where can people find you?
Well, right now our social media presence is just Facebook. We're looking to expand that immediately and get bigger and broader on several social media platforms. With our bookstore, for example, a lot of people aren't aware that TikTok has a channel called Book Talk. So we're going to Book Talk. We're going to TikTok with some fun stuff. I'm definitely a stand-up comedian. I have a little something planned that I'll be doing on TikTok. It'll have me as the old curmudgeon yelling that people who don't know what books are. It's a book will be the punchline with me as the old guy. So, we have great shows coming up. We are right now going to be collaborating with Storyteller House for the Arts to play some of Harper's soundstage performances there.
Oh,
Harper's
fun.
Soundstage presents at Storyteller for the Arts until we find a permanent home for our soundstage. So that's kind of a big deal. And I think this is the first that's being announced publicly. There you have it.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you for having me. This was great fun.